Bringing hope to many around the globe. Transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's Word.
Today I'm preaching on something that is very central to our Christian faith, and you will find it also at the back of our artwork, the main theme there. I'm preaching on the cross. The cross. When we talk about influence as Christians, the cross is central to who we are and what we are to the world. The cross is the most recognized symbol of Christianity. And what happened when Christ died on that cross totally transformed the cross and what it represents. On the cross, Jesus suffered, and on the cross, he died. But the cross did not start as a symbol of Christianity. It was an instrument for executing people to death. And so what Jesus did on the cross transformed it from what it used to be to what it is now to us. So let's read an account of what happened after Jesus had been sentenced to death in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 17 to 20. John chapter 19, verses 17 to 20. This is after Jesus had been tried and sentenced to death. He was sentenced to die by crucifixion. And the Bible says, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center." I like that. Jesus in the center. "Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.' Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and Latin." Written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, for everybody to note what had happened that day. Now, if you look at the verse 17, it says that he bearing his cross. He bearing his cross. Jesus carried his cross to the crucifixion. At some point, we know that somebody was made to help him, but he was considered to be carrying his own cross. The cross was his to carry. And that was part of the whole process of crucifixion, that a person who was sentenced to die by crucifixion had to carry the instrument of his death, which is the cross, to the place where he will be crucified. So Jesus had to carry his cross. The cross was the price he had to pay for what he was called to do. And it was his assignment. The cross was not an afterthought. It was not a surprise. It was not a shock to Jesus, because Jesus himself had indicated that he was going to die by the cross. In John 3, 14 and 15, he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And then John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33 says, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Verse 33 says, "This he said, signifying by what death he would die." Jesus knew how he was going to be crucified. He knew how he was going to die. He knew he was going to be lifted up. He was not going to die on the ground. He was going to die lifted up. And he says when he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And interestingly, the sign on him was written in all the three major known languages of the community he was in. All men could read what was written. The cross was a very powerful and intimidating way of killing people. Historically, it started with the Phoenicians. They started using the cross to kill rebels and so on and so forth. Then the Greeks took it up to an extent, and the Romans mastered it. And when they crucified you on the cross, or when they killed you on the cross, they did it to make a statement. First, to publicly humiliate you, and secondly, to warn anybody else who had ideas to pause. So the cross was to frighten the disciples of Jesus and tell them, if you don't behave, you're going to end up this way. It was a very fearful and frightening thing. It was a symbol of humiliation. If somebody died with a cross, you don't go about telling people that my father died on a cross, or my savior died on a cross. It's almost as if your father died by firing squad, and you wear a gun, an AK-47 around your neck, telling everybody, this is how my father died, and AK-47 killed him. Or your father was hung because he was found guilty of something, and you have a hangman's noose around your neck, telling people, this is what happened. But today we have people wearing the cross, the instrument of Jesus' crucifixion, because something happened to the cross to transform it from a symbol of death and humiliation to something else. And we're going to look at what happened to transform the cross from what it used to be and what it is now. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about his mission. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, what is the message of the cross? As I said earlier on, the cross has become very important to many people. I'm sure some of you are wearing crosses around your neck. Some of you have it as part of your bracelet or some jewelry. Some actually believe that there is a magical force if they have a cross in their pocket. If you go to most churches, you'll find a sculpture of a cross or some artwork depicting a cross. We have one behind us as a church. And so it has become a very important part of our Christian life. What is the message of the cross? When people wear the cross, you'll find that many times you'll find people wear the cross in two different ways, or the cross is presented in two different ways. One is a cross with Jesus crucified on it, and then a cross without Jesus on it. Most times you find people have the cross with Jesus on it, and there is the cross without Jesus on it. So what's the message of the cross? Both those are telling the message of the cross. The first one is that the cross tells the message of the suffering of Christ for our salvation. On the cross, he shed his blood for the remission of sins. On the cross, he was made sin for us so that we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. On the cross, he paid the price. On the cross, Jesus died. So when people wear the cross with Jesus on it, they are remembering the suffering of Christ. That's the first message, the suffering of Christ. The second message of the cross is the victory of Christ over sin and Satan. The victory of the cross was understood after resurrection. If Jesus had not resurrected, the cross would have defeated him, and therefore the cross would have been an intimidating force. But when he rose from the dead, then the cross had been conquered. And because of his resurrection, he is no longer on the cross. He is no longer suffering for our sins. He suffered once for all, and he is alive forevermore. And that is a cross without Jesus on it. And that is what I believe Christians should represent Christ. He is no longer suffering. He is no longer being crucified. He is no longer dying. He is alive. He has power. He is seated at the Father's right hand. The cross is empty and Jesus is alive. And I believe that any time we wear or we see a cross without Christ on it, it reminds us that this instrument of death has been changed into an instrument of life. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Can you imagine what would have happened to the early disciples going around telling everybody that their message was about the cross? In their world, the cross is an instrument of execution. If you died on a cross, you don't even mention it. Your family is not supposed to say it, but they go boldly saying, we are preaching the cross, our message is the cross, that we're preaching. Why were they so bold? Because the cross had been conquered. The message of the cross, for the people who heard it at that time, for some people it was foolishness. For some people it was the power of God. And isn't that what happened when Jesus was crucified on Calvary's cross? Jesus was in the center. And there were two people, two thieves by his side. For one, the cross was foolishness, the one who was perishing. He said, if you are truly the Son of God, why don't you get down and set us free? For him, what was happening was foolishness. But to the other one who was being saved, the cross was the power of God. He says, I know that you are the Son of God, and I want you to remember me in your kingdom. Jesus says, yes, today you will be with me in paradise. The cross is in the center. On the right are those who say, this is a foolish message. On the other side are those who say this is the power of God. And even now when we preach the power of the cross, there are those who would say, oh, this is foolishness. And for the others who will say this is the power of God. The cross divides humanity into two groups. Those who accept it and see the power of God, those who reject it as foolishness. And there will be people who would never see light in the preaching of the gospel, because their minds have become their God. To them, their wisdom is their God. Their knowledge is their God. For some people, their money is their God. For some people, their fame is their God. For some people, something they've achieved is their God. For them, the cross is foolishness. But for us who are saved, the cross is the power of God. It is the power of God. So what is that power of God that the cross is? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29, Paul goes ahead to tell us what that power is. He says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. This is how the power of the cross is demonstrated. I like the word chosen. We don't choose him, he chooses us. Sometimes we use the phrase, I have found Jesus. And I understand when people say, I have found Jesus. But he wasn't lost, really. He found us. We were lost. We were wandering, and he found us. You don't choose him. He chooses you. And when God chooses you, it means that he places special attention on you. Through the cross, God chooses us. We become the chosen of God. And the Bible says he chooses the foolish to shame the wise. The cross allows God to choose people who are not considered bright, not very educated, but through them, he shames the wise. God bypasses great philosophies of life and chooses the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity, the gospel as simple as ABC, accept, believe, confess. You don't need to travel too high. You don't need to read volumes of books to be saved. It's as simple as accept you are a sinner, believe Jesus died for you, confess him as your Lord and Savior, and the cross made it possible for you to be saved. No long book. When that man on the thief says, Lord, remember me, Jesus didn't say, well, you know, it's too late now. You're going to die in about 3 hours' time. And you should have started this long ago because you should have read this book and read that book and visited this place and done this and given that money and done this. The man says, I don't have time. But Jesus says, although you don't have time, the gospel is so powerful, it can choose a thief and make him righteous. It's the power of God. He can choose a thief and make him righteous. He can choose a prostitute and make her an ambassador of the gospel. He can choose a demon-possessed person and set them free to become a deliverer. I don't know where you are, but the gospel will choose you from wherever you are. The gospel will choose you, and the cross will choose you and set you apart as the power of God. Maybe your life has been shame and disgrace. You are about to experience the power of the cross. It cancels your shame and brings you glory. The cross chooses the weak to shame the mighty. God, through the cross, showcases his power to us in such a way that weak people do mighty works. Weak people, people who don't have great strength, begin to do great things. God chooses the despised to shame the established. He chooses the things which be not to confound the things which are. He chooses the nobodies to dismiss the somebodies. Whether your tribe, your race, your gender, your social class makes you a nobody. You are despised. People make fun of you. You are a symbol of joke to many people. God is able to go through the universe and pick you who is despised to show those who think they are somebodies that they are nothing. God is always in the process of doing that. And all that happens because of the cross. Because the cross of Jesus, at that point in history, God intervene in the life of man. Here is another work of the cross in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. And I love this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. And it reads, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was breaking a curse. He was breaking a curse because according to Jewish law in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, 23, and I'll just read it quickly. If a man has committed a sin deserving death and he is put to death and you hang him on a tree, His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So, when Jesus died, he redeemed us from something. What did he redeem us from? From the curse of the law. The law says, if a Jew is condemned to die and he's hung on a tree, and the crucifixion qualifies for that, and he's hung on a tree, God sees that person as cursed. So when Jesus was on the cross, hanging on the cross, for the Romans, it was just another execution. But for every Jew that passed by, they said, that's a cursed person. That's an accursed thing. This is an abomination. Jesus became an abomination. He became an abomination. And the Bible says, on the cross, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. How could he redeem us? Because he became the curse. He became the curse. He was called a curse. He was called abomination. On the cross, he was an abominable thing. Because there were some people who were under a curse. And in order to redeem them and separate them from the curse, he took the place of the curse and hung on the tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's why you cannot come to the cross and still be cursed. He became the curse, so you will not be cursed. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now somebody will say, what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is very long. We can't read all of it. And it's very depressing when you read it. The curse of the law, you find it in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 15 to 68. We can't read all of it, but I'll read portions of it. Very depressing when you read it. Now, the curse of the law is what happens when you break the law. When God gave them the law, he told them that there will be blessing and there will be curse. If you obey, there is blessing. If you disobey, there is curse. Well, everybody disobeyed. So everybody was under the curse. And the curses were very horrible. I'm telling you, when you read them, you'll be very depressed. It included disaster. The curse of the law had disaster in it. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 to 19. It says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in and cursed shall you be when you go out. So for anybody who has sinned ever in their lives, you are under this. If it wasn't for the cross. Disaster. The curse of the law also included defeat. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy 28 says, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the nations of the earth. The curse of the law says that when you go to battle, you will lose. Your enemy will scatter you. You will go out one way, you will scatter in seven ways. In other words, you will be decimated. That's the curse of the law. The curse of the law was dishonor. This is not inspiring at all. But you have to know what you are redeemed from. He says, you shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from you, and it shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. It's the curse of the law. The curse of the law says, things will be taken away from you. Your wife will be taken from you. Your husband will be taken from you. Your business will be taken from you. Your property will be taken from you. Your land will be taken from you. And when you go through life, it seems as if everybody is taken away from you. And the curse says, when they take from you, they will not restore to you. That's the curse of the law. Dishonor. The curse of the law had decrease. You will decrease. You don't become great. He says in verse 38 to 40, you shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locusts shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the rose, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for the olives will drop off. Very depressing curses. In other words, you will start your business. You will work very hard. You will work very hard, but it won't prosper. You put in all your time and your effort. Nothing good will come out of it. You will make all your investment. Nothing good will come out of it. That's the curse of the law. When Jesus hung on the cross, all these curses were put on him. All these curses were put on him. That's why Galatians says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? Because he became the curse. He was bearing all of these things on the cross. He became an accursed thing. Now, when you come to him through the cross, you have access to freedom from this. That is why you must not ever accept a curse as a normal in your life.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill, email otterbill@centralgospel.com, or call +233 302 688 000.